But I tell you, what a wonderful joy it is to sing songs about the Master in God's house. You may like the music, you may not. But you gotta love the message. You gotta love the message. So many times I've heard sermons, and as you'll say with me, sometimes maybe it was not presented as well as it should have been. But folks, if it's from the Bible and it stands the test of the blood being shed on the cross and a risen Savior, you got a message. This week, so many things that happened, and you know, as each and every one of you, if you had you to testify about the things that are going on this week in your life and mine, we're so different, and God just shows the wonderful opportunity that we have to gather in His house and be of one mind, one spirit, and one accord. I'm amazed about that time when y'all just get up and y'all just talk and y'all just sharing and just good to see you and how's it going. And I know that you form great relationships with brothers and sisters here at this church. And I know that extends out to other churches and in your jobs. Because I believe if you can just come in for an hour on Sunday and just get a little taste of heaven, get a little taste of what it feels like to be with God's people, I hope that it does your soul as good as it does mine. This morning I want to read scripture. It's in the 15th chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. In the next few verses, the Apostle Paul is going to give you the whole gospel here. I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. By also you are saved if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Some that saw him had already passed away. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. You'll know the story of Paul on the road to Damascus. When Jesus, why dost thou persecutest me? The 9th verse, for I am the least of the apostles, whom am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Then the 10th verse reads, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. One more time. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so that you believed. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing on the reading of your word, and give us just this moment to, God, just touch our hearts and our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. The gospel, spelled out for you in scripture. And I love the way the Apostle Paul, in this section here, he talked about Christ dying for our sins. Somebody asked me, said, well, I'm unsure of this salvation thing. I said, folks, I heard it a long, long time ago. It's as easy as ABC. They kind of looked. A, you have to admit. For I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And guess what? That covers each and every one of you. Me too. B, you have to believe. If you believe that Christ was buried and rose again on that third day, all who believe on the name of Christ Jesus shall be saved. And then thirdly, C, you gotta confess. That means you gotta tell people. You gotta tell them what you stand for. And I know that we have heard, my goodness, if we heard it this week, if we've ever heard it. I hear what people believe in. I hear what people are standing for. I hear what people are gathering for, what they're protesting against. I am here to tell you that I stand for what this book says that is open in front of me. Christ and Him crucified. And I believe that you have a duty to tell others what you believe. I don't think you ought to beat them over the head. I don't think that you ought to be obnoxious with it. I just think that you ought to have the attitude that I am simply a sinner saved by grace. And don't you worry, folks. God will give you plenty of opportunity to speak for Him. How many of you know someone, and so many times, and when I come to church, people say, oh, the sermon. And I'm like, folks, I receive just as much out of that prayer time that I do of any sermon. Because I hear people, first of all, that are willing to testify about what God is doing in their lives. I praise God that I fell on the concrete, not over in the soft clay over there. They might not come find me for a while. I praise God for what He's done and the miracles that He is working. I praise God that although I am in the midst of this thing that I don't understand, I know that it is God's will. And I know that He will make a way for me to go through it. And I am also fully believing and trusting enough that I have friends who know me that will either text or call me or ask me, if you don't mind, would you simply mention in prayer request on Sunday? Because I believe that you believe in prayer and you go to a church that believes in prayer and lifts up one another's burdens. That's what I believe. There was an old minister who attended a lecture at the University of Chicago Divinity School. And this great theologian had come to the conclusion that the resurrection of Jesus was simply a myth. Churches had spread that. And the lecturer stood up and he quoted scholar after scholar, and he went and he quoted things out of book and all like that. And he said to his conclusion there was no proof that Jesus had actually risen from the grave. And then he asked, are there any questions? And the old preacher in the back probably had white hair. Amen. Amen. Stood up. And he says, sir, I have just one question. It's very simple. And reached into his bag there and he pulled out an apple. And he started to bite this apple. And he says, doctor, he says, now I never read some of the books you read. And he says, you know, I've never been able to quote the scripture from the original Greek. Eating this apple. He said, but I just got one question. He says, He says, is this apple that I'm eating, is it bitter or is it sweet? And the lecturer, in all his little scholarly answer, he said, well, sir, I could not possibly answer your question, for I have not tasted of the apple that you're eating. And the old preacher said, well, he said, you've not tasted of the Jesus that I know. You have not tasted of the one who lives within my heart and that has changed my life. And all around him, they started to clap and applause. And the lecturer just said, thank you, and left the stage. I don't understand. I don't pretend to make sense of it all. I don't have all the answers. Earlier in this book of Corinthians, it reads in the love chapter, and all of you know the love chapter, the 13th chapter of the book of Corinthians. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. And you know what love is. I just read that they asked the 6-year-old about what is love. And they responded by saying, it is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on aftershave and they go out and smell each other. Do you have a better definition than that? I don't know of one. In the 11th chapter, the 11th verse in the 13th chapter, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Then a verse that I've read so many times, and only this week did I better understand it. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Now I see through a glass darkly. I need a volunteer. Hunter, I'm glad you didn't raise your hand, so get up here.
You're awful. You have to put them on.
You can't see anything.
You can't what?
You can't barely see anything.
You can't see anything, can you?
No.
Yeah. I've lost same thing. Now, I went outside and put them on and looked up the sun. And through these glasses, you can barely see sun or very dark like that. But it actually worked. And I had to go outside and look at the sun because I thought I bought glasses that don't work. But if you look through these now and you look at all these people, how many can you see?
None.
None, right? Give them a big round of
applause.
Do any of you have your glasses? Yeah. Oh. I knew I should have bought more. When you look through these glasses, in any normal light, you can't see a thing. You cannot make out one detail. Only when you go outside and you look directly up at the sun can you make out anything at all, but you can see the sun through. This scripture says, now I look through a glass darkly. I don't have the answers. I don't understand at all. I don't understand the questions that are presented to me. I don't understand why God finds in His wisdom to heal some. In others, He gives the greatest healing of all. He takes them home. I don't understand it. But I am looking through. Where'd you go? I am looking through glasses darkly, and I can't see anything. But if I go outside, I can see just a little bit of that sun. I hope you get to watch a little bit of the eclipse tomorrow. You can, they've got things now. You can make your own glasses. You can take cereal boxes and put holes in aluminum. Is that right? And they've got all kind of stuff. But trust me, folks, you're not going to have all the answers. And not everything is going to be as clear to you as you would like for it to be in this life. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus died. He was buried in a tomb. And He rose again on that third day. And He overcame death. He overcame sickness. He overcame pain. He overcame fear. He overcame the unknowing that so many people have within their hearts. And belief in that is what I stand for. And I know that you do too. So tomorrow, when everybody's making all the hoopla and this and that and the other, and I have my little, if I could, I could give somebody one of the ones. I need to look out of one eye, maybe. And I've got my little glow-in-the-dark golf ball that they said you can see that. I don't know. But trust me. Think about what God has done for each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in your house. We have simply opened your word, and we've seen the truth that you give us. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that you'll just talk to hearts, God. You allow people who are going through such trials, such turmoil, such questions within their own life to simply believe, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that's where they put their trust in. We thank you for each one that took part in the service today. We thank you for those prayer requests, for those praises that we heard. And be your will, bring us back again to your house to sing praises under your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. All God's people said amen, amen. Stand to your feet if you're able. You're dismissed. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family.